so I'm Jeff Sandquist. You know, you probably know me as the guy that, you know, has Channel 8, 9, and 10, the teams that do that. But in addition to what I do in my job to make that happen, I'm a power user too. And this is about something new that we're trying to do with Channel 10, and that is show the technology that employees are have at their homes. I have a little bit of what you have. I have a little bit of new things that are from Microsoft. And the idea being saying, hey, we create technology at Microsoft, but yeah, we use it too. Hopefully this is about something that we do more. We're going to go to a lot more people's houses. We're going to go and show how they're using technology. And we're hoping that you go and film around your home and put some videos up on YouTube or Soapbox or wherever so that we can see your places too. This isn't about the house that I live in. It's how the technology I use. Sometimes it works real well, and sometimes at your place it doesn't work so well. Like anything, we've got a wireless network in the house, and we'll go show where all that's driven here. But this is just a nice Dell desktop PC.
That doesn't look like the standard Vista logon screen. What's going on there?
No, that was a picture I snapped this summer when I was on vacation, and it is Rafferty Dam outside of Estevan, Saskatchewan. And there's a really cool app by Stardock has logon Vista, and it allows you to really easily swap in different background graphics. And cool. I wanted to be reminded every day about this one view. Me and the buddies were out fishing and we were drinking some beer, and that's what that background is. So I swapped in the background. I don't think that's what Jenny Lamb and them had in mind when they put the nice green one in there, but I wanted to have something that reminded me every day when we go to it. But yeah, I'm running Vista, and I'm actually running a beta of SP1 because all good Microsoft employees will, you know, help people test with dog food stuff. And they just did a recent update where we are using SP1 at home. This machine, you know, typical, nice big widescreen monitor, great for, surfing the web and doing all sorts of stuff. On the background, I actually pull my background images from Flickr, and I use Flickr desktop wallpaper background, and I use it to cycle through on about every 20 minutes different background pictures from Flickr from my library. I toggle in a note. I like to sometimes use colorful, that tag, and bring that up. But right now I'm just pulling old fun pictures. This is a picture that Maxwell, a guy that did actually the original Channel 10 logo, he kind of watercolored up for me over the summer.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I see a familiar little green icon down the corner there. What do you got going on there?
That is the happiest little icon there ever was. I tell you.
Mine's always red.
Really? I'll tell you, we'll go in and show this later, but I built out a machine. We sell a Windows Home Server in the company store, and what a great little product. I am a Windows Home Server fanboy, but basically it's a machine running in my garage. I took a little server, and I loaded it up with a bunch of hard drives, and it is taking nightly backups of our home network, so I can, go in here, and on this machine here, I can view the backups, and I have the incremental backups from there. I can restore and do that. On different document files, if I screw up, I can go restore last version and do that. There's much more interesting stuff where I've got consolidated storage.
Okay, and how much disk space do you have?
You know, I am not that much of a superhero right now yet. I only have 335 gigs. Unlike you, Mr. Larson, I think you're up to a terabyte yet.
1.7 terabyte.
1.7 terabytes for Mr. Larson, but...
Steve Cellini has me beat with 1.8.
Yeah.
I'm working on that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the bars of anything of the tour of the Microsoft power users that we're doing is who has the most home server thing. What is the score?
Yeah.
And we'll keep that tallying up. I am at 335.65 gigs. I will be outdone later by someone. But, it's cool having that. It's became backups effortless. I heard a story about an employee last night that last week at 8:10 p.m. He got notified by his son that his hard drive had failed on his gaming machine. He inserted a CD, and by 8:53 p.m. it was restored, and his son was up and running again. It's just awesome technology.
And it's just like he left it too.
He inserted the CD, insert the CD, boot it up, and restore from backup, and you're good. It does a lot more than that, though. I mean, I now have remote access to my home network from work. I can remote desktop any machine in the network. I can do access to files and so forth on the network. There's an add-in infrastructure that allows me to add these different add-ins, and there's like an add-in for Flickr. I haven't used that one yet, but an add-in for Flickr that basically takes my photos directory up on the home server, automatically replicating up to Flickr. That's really cool. Great product. Charlie Kindle and the team of home server guys, we announced it on Channel 10 last January, and it's been a fun product. This is basically master control for Sonos. Sonos is a whole home audio system that is amazing through its whole wireless system. But in a nutshell, and we'll go into it more, it lets me, through my whole home, have access to my PC music collection, stuff from Zune Marketplace, internet radio, Sirius satellite radio without having a Sirius satellite radio, Pandora. It is just the most amazing system, and I'll show that to everybody, but it is life-changing having that unit in your home.
And there is the, well, that's the beer fridge.
Beer fridge.
And then you got the, just a little desktop box.
Yeah, that's the home server, you know, not much, you know, it just runs. It just, you know, Windows Home Server is based on, you know, Windows Server. And it's, you know, some things that are built on top of that. And you know what? It just works.
And it's built to run headless.
Yeah, so. I just got it, you know, it's just, for me, the administration for home server is what we showed in my home office. And you know, this is it. It just runs.
It's made to run in a closet or a garage or whatever. Yeah. So what was the choice behind putting it in the garage?
You know, I went back and forth. I've got a decent network control panel up in our master bedroom closet that I can show later. But I just kind of wanted it out here. Didn't have the noise so that my wife wasn't like, you know, going near it when we had near clothes and stuff like that. So I just thought, hey, I'll put it out here in the garage. And then this house has got network access like literally everywhere. So that was kind of the thought process there, was to do that.
And And if there's a fire.
If there's a fire, hopefully this will be one of the last things to go. But, you know, it just seemed like a good place to go put it. And the wife acceptance factor, having it out here, she was like, oh, why do you have a PC out here? And then I explained to her, hey, we're backed up now. Now her music collection is always up to date. Hey, you know, our files are that and are backed up. And I showed her the restore previous version. She said, wow, this is actually pretty cool. So definitely was a thing that, you know, it just runs and she likes that.
Nice.
I got much more interesting computers out here in the garage.
Next to that is this killer. This is the best part about coming over to Jeff's house.
Yeah. This is a fun thing. You know, when you're a kid and you're growing up, and I think, you know, I was born in 1970. I'll tell people how old I was, is that I grew up in my younger years stuffing quarters into video games. This is before the console wars brought an arcade to everybody's home. And for me, it was always, you know, I'm a retro gamer. People say, Jeff, are you a gamer? And I say, no. But I'm a retro gamer. I've got an Xbox upstairs and so forth. What I noticed on the Xbox, I'd buy a lot of the new titles that came out, but I also bought a lot of the Xbox Live Arcade games. And so, you know, you can buy Frogger and things like that for that. But if you ever go play them on a TV, it's just not the same. It's not the same as the Xbox controller. So you can build name cabinets and things like that, and I looked at doing that. But then, this Chicago Gaming, chicago-gaming.com is the company. They come up with this thing here, and you know what? It's all burnt into ROM. It has 125 different games, so I'm going through here, and it's got everything from Joust to Jungle Hunt to
Gravatar. These aren't the no-name titles either. These are the good things.
This has got Golden Tee Golf 2, Final Blow, Elevator Action, Defender, Crystal Castles, Commando, Centipede, Burning Rubber, Burger Time. And so what's cool about it is that there's no disc loading. It's all burnt into ROM. I think it uses a custom OS. You can figure out that it's probably, it must be a Linux variant. I talked to them once. I thought they used Windows XP embedded. I guess they don't. But, you know, here's a game. I can sort to it. I pick the controller. It shows me at the beginning, you know, what are the different controls? Which button is jump? This is Jungle Hunt. It's got all of the, you know, the fighting karate game.
It's got a trackball, so you can play all the classics.
It's got Missile Command, you name it. But here's that. Boom. I'm quick. I'm into that. And, you know, there's Jungle Hunt. And, you know, this is, you know, this is an emulation, I guess, of the original ROM files. All right, it sucked because I'm watching the camera, but this is just, like, hilarious. I mean, our neighbors come over, and this has become kind of this Friday night thing with our neighbors, is that people come around, and anybody from that era that stuffed video quarters into video games and things like that, you know, come over here, and they find their childhood game, and you all of a sudden, you see them, they kind of light up when they actually go and play one. That, you know, it's just a lot of fun. It brings back all sorts of memories. And you kind of go, oh my gosh, I used to stuff quarters into this thing in order to play these games.
Back to your Windows Home Server. It is probably the brain of the house, I suspect, because it's connecting all the different computers, doing the backups.
Yeah.
So what's the central nervous system? Let's see how you got this thing wired.
Let's go upstairs.
All right. All right, so we have left the Silver Spoons arcade down in the garage, and now we are at this tangle, the spaghetti monster of wiring. What is going on here?
You know, it's this is actually kind of cool. It what do they call it? My builder calls it the connection center. I'll tell you know, there's a lot of things about this house that my wife loved.
Where are we?
We're in my master bedroom closet. Dun, dun, dun. This is actually really cool. My wife was, when we came around to look at this house, my wife was looking at cabinets and so forth, and I didn't have a screwdriver any time that we were coming around. There's actually a nice panel that, you know, that covers this, you know, but...
But it's like the lid to a computer. Who leaves the panel on?
Yeah, you know what? My wife is, like, usually on me. Can I get that panel back on there? But, you know, when we were looking at the house, my wife would look at the cabinets, this and that, and go and check things out. And to be honest, I kept on wanting to come into here, so I finally brought a screwdriver over to open it up. But really, which is really cool, is that we have one network entry point for this house, and then it distributes out. And so the different things that come into here is RJ45, 10-base T cabling. Larry will tell me what it is. It's a decent grade wiring that's run through the whole house for my networking.
Cat 6.
It we go from, so every single room, including the garage, has a network drop. Every single room, including the garage, has a cable drop. Every room has a telephone drop, and it all comes in and permeates out from the central point. What's so nice about it is I can have my cable modem here. And then that pushes out, and I've got a wireless access point tucked in here. It's a little thing that I do is I keep the CD for here. If I ever have to redo it, it's right with it. I never have to rifle through and do it. But basically, it comes in here from network, goes to a hub. This is my wireless access point. This is, I've got an extra hub here for so that I can have network drops everywhere, and it pushes connectivity out. A video comes out of here for my cable, and so the coaxial cable comes out, and I have an amplifier to boost the signal so we don't degrade the signal. Telephone comes out of here. I ran a power strip and have that zipped in. Believe it or not, I've actually cleaned up the wires a little bit. If you have a nice, clean network access panel that's really done well like this, take a picture and put it on Flickr. Would love to see what you've done with it. I had some sort of fantasy that I was going to put a home server in here.
That'd be a skinny home server.
That would be a skinny home server. Neil Hudson, who works in our group, is actually building one out right now with Mini ITX. That's about this big that would fit, but I'd worry about heating issues. But it's nice having this stuff in here. I mean, having one point where everything comes in and goes out is really, really cool.
I want to hear how you distribute the music throughout the house. Let's go take a look at that.
Sonos, baby. Sonos.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, this is a Sonos, and I hear this is the Mac Daddy for audio, home audio.
This is pretty much, I've tried everything leading up to this to try and get audio through my home. So I've got, wires running everywhere, but, I don't really want to put speakers in my ceiling. I've tried all sorts of things, like having a media center PC, love it to pieces, but how do you remote that to different rooms? And you think about music in your house, right? So how do I have music in my house? Well, I got a desktop PC that I bring in a lot of music, and I rip CDs and buy music and things through Zune Marketplace, and there's internet radio, and you figure out all these things that factor into it. And how do you pull that together? And my life isn't just about having PC, music on my PC. It's really about also having music that is on devices. So XM radio, I've got an XM radio in my master bedroom. Well, if we have a party over, what if I just want to put XM radio on, 8 for the 80s or 9 for the 90s or some sort of jazz station? Or what if I want to bring in different other streaming radio? And then the next thing you think about is, you want to bring those inputs around without having to mess with stuff. And how do you, distribute that around the house? How do you control it? So when you're just having a party and your people are wanting to jam out and pick music, how do you do that? What about things like Pandora? How do I bring Pandora to it? So literally, I remember Bryn Weibel, who I used to work with, we used to joke about let's write a pocket PC based solution. Let's move PCs around the house and networking. Well, at the end of the day, Sonos absolutely nailed it. It's not the most inexpensive solution out there, but what did my dad tell me? That quality isn't cheap, it's priceless. Is that the way you say that? And really, Sonos is it. Few things about the Sonos setup that makes it really unique. Number one is you have this great wireless control center. You have two units, and my whole view of technology in my home is I want it hidden. I don't want to have music and components and audiovisual boxes shown all around the home. I want it so it's seamless and not in that you're not seeing the technology, you're experiencing it. So the Sonos unit, basically I use this to control it. And what's nice about it is I can pick music. Let's go into my good old music library, and what can we find that we want to listen to?
Yeah, it's got a wheel on it.
Yeah, it's got a nice little wheel. I'm just right now, what I'm doing, and you can probably barely see it, is I'm browsing through artists, This is music that is on that desktop PC that we showed earlier. And I'm going to find a song. And I'll put on something that'll make my Canadian heritage very proud. And yeah, I'm going to bring on Other Rooms. I'm bringing it on the office. I can bring it on the media room upstairs. I can crank it in the master bedroom. And that's cool.
That's cool.
But not just that. If you look around here, what else is really cool is I can run Pandora. So
tell people what Pandora is.
So Pandora is this, it uses the Global Genome Project. Is that what it's called? That is...
We've got a link to a Pandora.
We've got a link to a Pandora video. But basically, hey, am I interested in hearing Kim Mitchell? You know, or type an artist. I can type in an artist, and what's cool about it is that it will play a song along those attributes. So say if I typed in I'm looking for mellow music or something that's kind of soft, it might go in and play me Jan Arden based on the attributes of that music. And so I just scared somebody in another room because I just cranked music. They went, wow! But yeah, you know, here's a particular song that I did for that. But Sonos doesn't just stop at that. What's other cool too is like Sirius Radio. It plays Sirius Radio, but how it plays it is even cooler. You know, basically, you don't have to have a Sirius Radio if you have a Sonos. You can buy a Sirius account for like $3.95, and you can browse all of their channels, even some of their talk channels and their comedy channels, and play that through the Sonos. So you don't have to mess with the satellite antennas inside your home. You can just go run with that.
So how does this get from room to room? Does it connect through your Wi-Fi network?
It can do a couple things. I ended up having to phone Sonos this past week because I wanted to make sure I got this right. It has two different types of systems. One, it's got the individual units. We'll go show a couple of the units because they're little small white boxes. They have two different types of boxes. They have amplified and ones that have speakers. The amplified ones use an existing unit, like a little Bose unit that I've got over there that it's plugged into it, and it'll run it through that. If you don't have a unit, you can buy a unit that'll amplify speakers. How it connects around the network is one of them needs to be wired, and then what it'll do is uses its own kind of like wireless mesh grid to be able to connect wireless around it. On a standard similar to 802.11g, but it's done slightly different.
And it doesn't interfere with your Wi-Fi?
It doesn't interfere. It actually knows when you have a Wi-Fi network, and it'll adjust itself and its frequency and strength, automatically moving it to right the appropriate channel so it doesn't conflict with your wireless network. And what's amazing about it is if I have a Sonos unit here, it can now go, you know, a 250 feet to the other unit. So it's almost like, as long as it has those units, it's not like a wireless hub.
Yeah, the piggybacks more, from one
piggybacks,
to the other.
It actually takes up the whole network. So my neighbor could actually, I could make the network go into a garage in my neighbor's backyard if I wanted to.
Yeah.
It's very secure. But it does even more than that. Like each of these little units, like this product, I'm serious, I sound like a Sonos shill here, but I really am. What else is really cool about the Sonos is that each of them has a line in. So right now I have, and I actually probably don't have it turned on, but I'll try. See if the demo gods are with me. Basically, I can go in here and I'm going to go up to my XM radio that is plugged. I'm basically navigating on this unit here to my line ins. And what's really cool is I'm going to find my XM radio that's upstairs and turn it on. And it's in my master bedroom, so it's probably playing smooth jazz.
How does it control the XM radio?
It's really basic. All it's doing is I've got an XM radio upstairs, and it's plugged into line in. So I have it turned on right now. It's it's just line in, so it doesn't matter the volume's up or down. And now I am listening to my XM radio playing jazz from a master bedroom. It has multiple zones.
And can you change stations on the radio?
I can't change stations on this. If I was using the built-in Sirius, you know, then I could do it from here. But for the XM that I have up there, it's whatever station it was on. But I can manage the zones. I can say, you know what? In this zone here, I want to be listening to music from my PC. In another two or three units, each unit that is a Sonos unit is a zone. And so if I want to take two zones and have them running something different, I can do that. Seriously, the Sonos has nailed it. I don't know who else actually has a product out here that even compares. I've literally wondered, like, how could I go about, Larry and I have talked about this, how could I build my own Sonos, you know, to think through, and it's like a combination, what is it, Leapfrog,
yeah.
Leapfrog and a pocket PC.
And wire your whole house.
And wire your whole house, and you know what, Sonos has nailed it.
I noticed that there's no AV stuff sitting out here in your living room. Where is it all?
Yeah, if I had my way, you would see no components except maybe a big screen around the house. But a great little product called HotLink Pro. I think it's about $30-$40. Find it on the internet. And it's an IR emitter system. And I looked, and I've tried many of things. I've tried the little triangle cubes that you see at Radio Shack that do IR emitters. Sorry, guys. Don't even bother. You lose signals, they drop signals. This here works really well. You know, it's, you know, there's no signal degradation. I've got a little unit here that does the infrared. Down here I have a total mess where I have my Comcast box. Here's a Sonos unit. The Sonos units, I also, just to keep going on about the Sonos, but it's also, each one of them is a hub, a network hub, so I can expand out my network on it. But yeah, I mean, here's the hot, if I had like six or seven devices down here that are doing the IR, the infrared, the HotLink does it. It's a really inexpensive product. It's a small company that has it. If you need to basically hide components and do it, this one works pretty darn well, and really, really happy with it. So just after I've shown, you know, the entire internet what are the cool things at my house. Yeah, we've got a, you know, ADT alarm system. We had them, you know, do a bunch of things with all the motion sensors and fun things like that. And actually, what's really cool is the way that ADT actually does this thing. It actually works really well and is really easy to arm. Our last one, we had an ADT, it had the keypad and stuff like that, but this is just all touchscreen, and, you know, it's, you know, pretty decent for, you know, for how to secure the things and how to, you know, set the zones and the faults, and, you know, it's just one button and it's armed, which is cool. A couple of the things which is interesting about it that I, you know, you talk about things that you want to do that are different and improve in your home. You know, the next thing for me is how do I get into further into home automation? Yeah, that's something that I'm thinking about and would love feedback from people. It's like, A, you know, this here has a lighting button on it where I can actually have multiple panels of these in the home, but I can turn lights on and off in the home. Do I go do that? Or is there another way that I need to do that, say, through my media center? I've been thinking through that. It has a message system where you can record messages and leave messages for people. You know, sometimes, though, as we're looking at all the tech that we have in our homes and the way to use technology for everything, to be really honest, nothing beats a chalkboard. So this was just a chalkboard that we've actually painted on the wall, and I put trim on it. And that's what we actually use. But this has been my home. This is the way I use technology in my life. I hope that maybe you'll go around, people go around and show how they're doing stuff, make some videos, put them up on YouTube or Soapbox, and show us the way that you're using tech. You got questions about the things we've done, we've listed out links to the people. But really, at the end of the day, this is about showing people how we at Microsoft are using technology in our homes. We hope to see how you're using your technology, and that we're all having some fun. Thanks.